and welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast. Bonjour, Benjamin.
Hello.
Bonjour, Benjamin. Benjamin, bonjour.
I think even in French, you still have to say my name correctly. I don't become Benjanan in
It's Benjamin.
Why are you being weird, Trev?
Because it's sort of holiday season. I thought I'd bring a bit of travel to the podcast. You know, people might have been away, might have been to France, might be going to France. I thought I'd bring a little bit of Europe to the podcast.
Are you going to France?
I'm not going to France, no.
So just France for no reason?
Well, it's the only language I could do. I could do a little bit of Latin, but I don't think that's any good. I could, salut, Ben.
No.
It's not quite the same, is it? Benjamin. Bonjour, Benjamin.
This is the oddest start to a podcast we've ever done.
Okay, what's hello in German? Guten Tag. It's good day, isn't it? Guten Tag. Guten Tag, Ben. Guten Tag, Ben.
It's very hot, isn't it? I think the heat's got to you a bit.
It's cooling down this week, thank God, Ben.
I am getting a bit fed up with it, because I don't know if this is climate change or global warming or what's going on, but it seems like we don't do moderate weather anymore.
No, we don't. It's just cold, hot.
Tomorrow, it's decided, you know, that we're in a drought and, you know, there's hose pipe bans all over the country.
Yeah,
tomorrow,
yeah,
it has decided to rain, but it's not just going to rain. By all accounts, tomorrow I'm going to need to use the Royal Mail canoe to get around East Grinstead. It's just going to be biblical tomorrow with the rain.
They are warning of flash floods this week. But part of that is down to the heat wave. It's all part of the global warming, Ben. It's all part of the climate crisis that we've brought upon ourselves.
Why are we so woefully prepared for the drought and stuff? I mean, it does rain a lot the rest of the time. Is it just these water companies are just mismanaging things so poorly and don't really care about the water supplies? It's just about giving their shareholders some money? Or has it just evaporated in the heat? What's going on?
I think it's a bit of column A, it's a bit of column B. I mean, obviously the heat does cause problems. But, you know, without getting too into it, because I'll get on a rant, but since since the water companies since it all was privatised, as far as I understand it, not one of the water companies up and down the country has built one reservoir in the last 30 years or whatever it is since it was all privatised. You know, build some reservoirs. Surely that's a key thing for preserving the water system.
Yeah, although if that involves spending out money.
Well, they won't, will they? Because you're right, the shareholders will desperately need that. All those rich fat cats will desperately need that.
And they don't need to concern themselves by, like, you know, making sure silly little things like the public have water.
No,
they don't need to concern themselves with that.
Of course not. Of course, I mean, we're just the plebs, Ben. If we don't have water, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, you know? And they'll be drinking Evian. Anyway,
I'm sure. French.
Oh, yeah, other bottled waters are available, but they certainly won't be drinking, as my mum used to call it, tapoline.
Tapoline?
Tapoline. Do you want some tapoline, Trev? Yeah, go on. Makes it sound sexier than just water, doesn't it? Do you want some tapoline?
It does, yeah. I've never bothered. You know, just give me a glass of tap water. That's absolutely fine.
It's not when you go to a bar. If you want water, ask for tap. Otherwise, they charge you a fortune for it, don't they?
With they do, I suppose. But I'm not sure. Would they give you tap water in a bar?
Yeah, if you ask.
I wonder if they're obliged to.
A lot of pubs now have a thing of water at the bar, so you don't tend to have to ask now. But in the past, always ask for tap water, please. Same in restaurants. Or ask for tap water, otherwise they'll bring you a bottle and charge you for it.
Can they not charge you for the tap water?
Pretty outrageous if they do.
If you are at a restaurant.
Yeah, but all they've got to do is turn the fucking tap on. And they don't charge you. If you ask for tap water, they don't charge you.
So you'd go to a restaurant, wouldn't you? And you'd ask for, you know, a sort of keg of tap water, and you'd have all that free bread that they give away in the little baskets. And you'd fill up on that and go home without paying them a penny.
But you could do if you wanted to. Is free bread really a thing? I don't know how much free bread they give out. I think that I've been to very few restaurants where there's free bread.
They always give out free bread.
It's not free bread.
Of course it is.
No.
They don't charge you for those little things of bread they put out.
And
the little tiny, you know, square inch of butter.
No, I'm sure. Because don't you have to ask for it? I'd like a basket of bread, and then they charge you for it.
Well, maybe you're not eating at very high-end restaurants.
Well, no, I don't eat at very high-end restaurants. Because at high-end restaurants, I bet they don't even do tap water. I bet they wouldn't even consider that a viable order. Tap water? What kind of person are you? Drinking water from a tap.
Serve you the tears of the poor.
I've noticed out and about, because of the hot weather, there are certain places where I've seen they put up sort of water machines where you can fill up your bottles. I think that's a great idea. That's something that I embrace as an idea going forward. Because I was never a fan of the water fountain. The water fountain to me always seemed a very unhygienic thing.
Well, there was always that one kid in the primary school
who was pissing it.
What? I wasn't going to say that.
Someone pissed in it at our school.
What school did you go to?
No, my primary school. It was a big thing. The headmaster got very cross about it and threatened to cane the culprit. We were all called into the hall. And he used the word pissing, and it was quite a shock to a, I don't know how old I was, 8-year-old, to hear the headmaster use that kind of language, but he was furious about it, and you would be, quite right too.
I want to come back to this. What I was going to say, though, was there would always be that kid who put his entire mouth over the nozzle.
Well, that's what I mean, yeah.
But, that's disgusting enough, because then every bit of water that comes out is sort of laced with their spittle. But how did he know someone was pissing? Because presumably he didn't catch him in the act because he'd have known who it was and wouldn't have needed to talk to all of you. So how did he realise someone was pissing in the drinking fountain?
I don't know. I don't know how he found it. Maybe it hadn't gone down the drain properly. I don't know how he found out. All I know is we were all called into the hall and he was absolutely fuming that somebody...
So did he see there was a bit of colour in the bowl, yeah, or did he smell it?
Or maybe he just seen the back of a child pissing. I don't know how he saw it. He didn't explain that to us, or if he did, I certainly don't remember. All I remember him was waving his cane about and very angrily saying, "Some boy has been pissing in the drinking fountain."
But I mean, I know you're...
Nobody came forward, by the way. He let us go in the end.
I was going to ask, did anyone get caught?
No, so, I don't remember anyone coming forward, no.
Okay, that's interesting. And now, I know you're a bit older than I am, but you say waving the cane around. I'm assuming that was more for scare tactic. Surely you're not that old that you went to school and got the cane.
Yeah. They didn't ban caning until, the late 80s? So really? I was my early days, smacking was a thing at the school. I never got smacked, but caning and smacking was still a thing then, Ben.
I've got to say, that is, again, one of those things which has ended surprisingly late. I would have thought that was ruled out before the 80s, but wow.
No. It must have been late 80s that came in. But before that, I mean, my second year teacher at primary school, he didn't cane you, but if you messed him about, he'd give you a smack. He'd smack your bottom.
Right. I think you'd be arrested or cancelled for putting your hands anywhere near a child's bum these days as a grown man.
It was very different in the 80s, Ben. So you could knock anyone about and do what you liked with it and say, "I'm a teacher." It's fine. Get away with it. It was a very different time. I remember when I went to secondary school. Now, I'm not going to say any names because I don't know the truth of this, but there was a teacher that was there when we arrived. I think he was an English teacher. And then he mysteriously disappeared. A rumour went round that this was post the ban on smacking. And the rumour went round that he'd smacked a child. And, and therefore, that would have been the end of his career. And he was gone. But whether that's true or not, I don't know. But it was always the thing. Oh, yeah, no, he smacked a child.
Were there unspoken rules about smacking kids? Like, were you able to, smack them around the mush? Or did it have to be, mainly the back of the hand or the bum?
I think it was generally...
You couldn't give them a haymaker is what I'm saying.
I'm not saying it wouldn't have happened in some schools. Certainly you go back to I hear some stories of schools in the 50s and 60s. I'm sure my dad's told me some stories of some pretty violent teachers at his school. I mean, that wouldn't have been tolerated. I think it was generally backside or, back of hand. Back of hand with a ruler, generally, which must have been really painful. Really painful.
My father-in-law always used to tell me a story about how he had a teacher who'd clout you with his shoe.
Yeah.
And it was like quite a sturdy shoe, like a smart shoe. And not only that, but he'd get a little sort of step ladder So he could go up a couple of stairs and then leap off of it to give himself a bit of extra height and sort of power.
I mean, this is what I mean. They were fucking sadomasochist teachers back in the day, weren't they? Why would you do that? You could get enough perches on a shoe to do some damage without going up a stepladder. I mean, that's outrageous, isn't it?
It's great. I suppose the question is, you know, if you're in a wrestling match with someone, you could drop them the elbow from a standing position, or you could climb the top of the turnbuckle and dive off and give them a flying elbow. It's even better.
Yes, but a school classroom isn't a WWE ring. There's a difference, isn't there? I don't think you can sort of compare the two.
Oh, I bet there are some amazing stories of corporal punishment being dished out in schools.
My friend at primary school, because sometimes our second year teacher, he would take the boy outside the classroom and then you'd hear the smack. Now, my friend told me, because he was taken out one day, that the teacher didn't hit him, but just clapped his hands. So the idea was to give the rest of the class the idea that you don't behave in this certain way. Otherwise, this is the punishment.
That's very similar to what happened at my primary school. It was Victorian Day, so there was context if you're wondering why the years don't add up.
Okay.
And as part of Victorian Day, we were all dressed up as little urchins and things, and The teacher dragged me out to give me the cane for being naughty, and she just sort of mouthed "yell" at me, and then just, you know, started smacking the wall
with the
cane as I screamed, and all the children inside thought, "Oh my god, she's killing him." So yeah, it's a good tactic though; it probably works.
But teachers were like, some teachers were mental, weren't they? I mean, there were always stories of teachers who went too far. There was always the teacher that you'd hear stories of throwing board rubbers at pupils' heads. And I even heard a story of a teacher throwing a chair at a pupil once because they got so cross. I mean, you again, that's assault. You can't just be throwing a chair at someone.
Again, WWE. It's great. I wasn't in the classroom.
I wouldn't mind so much if the teacher firsthand went, "You're going down! You're going down! You're a scum! You're going down!" But there was none of that.
Yeah, did a quick promo on the microphone and then hits him with a chair. We had an art teacher in our school who, someone in the year above me, was behaving so badly in one of her art lessons that she just lost her shit and she picked up a teapot they were all supposed to be painting and smashed it on the floor and then ordered the little pain in the ass to clear it up.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose at least she's taking it out on the teapot, not the child.
Yes, but they made him clean it up. It was fantastic.
We have one teacher who, he did lose the plot entirely. And he dragged a kid out the classroom by his hair.
Oh, no, you can't do that.
Well, interestingly enough, after that incident, he didn't teach that subject for a little while. He was still in the school, but we didn't have him teaching us for a good few months. And I got a feeling that there may have been a meeting the same place.
Wow. I mean, the thing is, though, today, with every kid with a camera phone in their pocket, they'd be in cuffs by the end of the lesson.
I think you're right. I think there's just absolutely no way. And quite rightly, I mean, the idea of hitting children, I mean, you're right, that the 80s is ridiculously late for that to have been banned. I mean, it's ludicrous to think that when I was at school, hitting children was an acceptable punishment.
Essentially, you know, it was controversial enough that parents would beat their children, but for effective strangers to do it, I know teachers have a sort of position of trust and whatnot.
Yeah.
But to just beat up random children...
And to have like specific objects that they'd find that would give the best hit. So it'd either be a cane or the slipper or a shoe, you know, a ruler. I mean, actually, you know, tools for the trade as well. It's not just like our teacher at primary school who'd always just slap me with his hand. But most teachers had an implement to make it even worse.
I bet you, like, the most sort of evil teachers would even probably have a nickname or a name for their item of choice, their weapon.
Of course they would, yeah. Yeah, if you don't behave, I'm taking out the chopper or something like that. These are really gruesome name, isn't it? I mean, I think there were punishments at schools, like going back in the day. I might have told you this story before. So I think it was my great aunt. So she was at school, this would have been in the late 1920s. And she was a bit of a chatterbox in class. So she was only a little girl. She was probably only about eight, something like that. And the teacher, I think the story goes that the teacher got so annoyed with her talking in class that she essentially gagged her with a false tongue, apparently. And I got this extra bit of information that I don't know whether this is absolutely true or not. Definitely gagging her is true. But I've got this memory of her saying, oh, and she put me in the bin as well. I had to sort of sit in the bin
right,
whilst gagged.
That's incredible. I think you may have told me that story before. And the idea that she didn't only want to shut her up, but I don't like there was a sort of element of humiliation built in as well. Like, and not only that, I'm going to put you in the bin.
I know. A total humiliation, wasn't it? I mean, you don't know what damage that does to a child, even if they are chatting. Just, you know, there's no need for that.
A very clear metaphor that the teacher considers you to be rubbish, you know.
Yeah.
You're in the bin.
I mean, it's awful. I mean, I can get it because having worked at a school and having not been a teacher, I mean, I don't think I could do it because you have to have a certain amount of patience, which clearly teachers in the past didn't have. I think patience is a thing that newer teachers have had to learn, because in the past you just beat the child. Mm. But now you've got to be patient because you can't do that. But I mean, there are times where you get really cross. Twice with a group of kids, I got very cross. And you do, there is a bit of you think, oh, if I had a cane, oh, just you'd get it.
Wow. So, I mean, one of your friends is quite a successful teacher. He's reached quite a high status, is that right?
Yes, yeah.
Now, does he tell you or do you happen to know what the policy is on camera phones? Are the kids allowed them in the class?
I don't think, no, absolutely not, no.
So what, do they have to be in the lockers or something?
Well, it's primary school, so I don't really know. Just they're not allowed in the classroom, that's for sure. But I doubt many of them have got them. I don't know. I don't know what age kids get phones now.
I don't know. I bet it's got younger and younger.
Yeah, I bet it has. Like, I wouldn't think anyone at primary school age, maybe last year, maybe like year six. I do know that year six kids have them, because year six, there was often always a bit of the year just before the summer holidays where they've done their exams and they're sort of in that demob bit because they're going on to secondary school. They've done all their work. And there's those few weeks where they're doing fun stuff, but they're sort of demob happy.
Yeah.
And often that's when the trouble would happen on chat groups, in the phones and stuff like that. And some of the language they were using, you said, where have you heard this sort of stuff?
Probably, I mean, the staff room.
It's just absolutely vile, this stuff. So that age, there's phones. But I think earlier than that, if I had a kid, I don't think I'd let a kid have a phone until they were at secondary school.
Yeah. But then again, there's sort of peer pressure, isn't there? If all their mates have got one, they're the only one without one, then you might feel pressured to sort of help them out.
Oh, you can't be given into peer pressure, Ben. You know, as a parent, you've got to be steadfast in your archaic thinking and say, no, little Johnny, no, everyone else might have one, but you will not have one until you set foot into the secondary school. Those are my rules, and those are the rules by which you will abide. Right. That's how I would talk to you. I mean, I haven't got a son, but that is how I would talk to my child.
You sound like Jacob Rees-Mogg.
Yeah, I wouldn't raise my voice in anger. There'd just be a very, very sort of long-winded explanation, almost a Dickensian explanation as to why you will not be allowed to have those sort of materials within your grasp, young man. Now go out and tend to the fields.
Trevor, mentioned earlier on that I'm struggling in the heat.
Mm.
And I really do believe that the heat has been increasingly annoying people and fuses are shorter than usual.
Well, I said last week how close to the edge I was at times.
I was driven to the edge. I didn't go over it, thankfully. I managed to control myself.
Okay.
But I was in my local Sainsbury's doing a bit of a shop. And I can hear a very loud man. And
I mean, that already, that's annoyed me. Just the fact someone's loud. Just no need for loudness.
And I can't quite get what's being said, but he appears to be having a chat with one of the female members of staff.
Right.
And I think, oh, he's being quite loud, but I think he's joking. He seems to be, no. Oh, hang on, he's not joking. He's actually really having a go at this girl.
Oh, wow.
So I get a bit nearer, and when I say girl, I mean He's a grown ass man.
Yeah.
And she's probably in her early to mid 20s.
Right.
And she's about 5 foot nothing.
Right. Okay.
Petite young girl working at Sainsbury's.
Yeah.
And I realize her crime that's annoyed him is that she has made the decision to wear a mask.
Oh, no. See, this is going to annoy me. This is really going to irritate me.
Now, whatever your personal feelings are about your right or your choice to wear a mask, that's.
Yeah.
Irrelevant.
Yeah.
You do not get to shout.
It's got nothing to do with him.
At someone else, a member of staff, particularly, well, you know, A, pick on someone your own size. and then he starts, you know, screaming at her for wearing a mask, demanding she take it off.
Oh, for Christ's sake, let her wear the fucking mask, you dick.
And I am not an aggressive man by nature. But you know that old thing about the red mist?
Mm, yeah.
I started to feel it.
I
sort of felt like I'm getting really angry here. Mm. And I'm not sure I'm going to be able to, you know, not say something or do something.
So did you get involved?
And my fists started sort of clenching up. And I'm going to fucking swing for this person.
Well, you're preparing yourself.
Thankfully, another large man who actually worked there intervened.
Oh, this is a disappointing end of the story. I thought we were going to get into a massive ruck with the bloke.
But because he worked there, he had to intervene quite, you know, strongly.
Yeah.
But he wasn't able to maybe use quite the language he would have used if he wasn't an employee.
No, I suppose he's having to do all the... Now, sir, we do not tolerate that kind of language, that sort of thing. Very moderate response.
And he didn't really stop his rant. He then just started screaming at this girl again, sort of ignoring the man who was trying to calm him down. Don't you lock us down again! I thought, hang on a minute, what Cobra meeting did I miss where it was the young lady who works on the self-service checkout in the local Sainsbury's, when did she decide to lock us all down? Because unless I missed a memo, that didn't happen.
No, I mean, it might now, seeing as we have no functioning government, it might be left to a checkout lady to make the call. But you're right. To this point, the decision was made at the highest possible level of government.
But what was the... I know it wasn't quite the crescendoing payoff you were hoping for, but what did happen, which was quite nice, was as this guy then had to make the exit and walk past basically a lot of annoyed self-service checkout customers who aren't employees of Sainsbury's, we were all able to shout a load of very vicious and sweary abuse at him, which he didn't like.
Good. I don't understand that mentality. You might not like the mask, but what's that got? What has it got to do with you that someone else is wearing? It's a bit like if I went up to him and said, oh, well, I don't like that T-shirt you've made the decision to wear today. It's a dreadful T-shirt. Do you know that T-shirt offends me? I'm greatly offended by the choice of T-shirt you've made.
I know. I mean,
it's no different to that.
I'm not even going to say he's not entitled to think that. I think he's wrong, for the record, but he's entitled to think that. He's entitled to think she's locked us down, she shouldn't be wearing that mask. That's fine. You can think all that. Keep it in your head, mate. Off you go. Yeah. Pay for your veg and fuck off.
I mean, yes, you want to tell him to fuck off. There's a bit of me that would... I mean, you'd never get to a rational conversation with someone like that, but I'd sort of like to sit him down and go, what are you objecting to? You're objecting to somebody making a choice to wear a mask. Why is that offending you so much? No one's telling you you have to wear a mask anymore.
Precisely. There were hundreds of people in that supermarket, and basically, I don't know about your local, but in mine, pretty much everyone's given up wearing a mask.
Yeah, yeah.
There's about, you know, 1 in 10 people will be wearing a mask, if that.
Yeah.
That's probably too generous, actually. So it wasn't like she was going around telling people to put them on.
No.
She was standing there, minding her own business. She's made her own personal choice, and you're being a dick.
Yeah.
Anyway, he eventually cleared off to a chorus of abuse, which
good.
Was delightful. I did make a point of going up to that girl. I said, ignore that. Person. I didn't say person. I said ignore him.
What word did you use?
I was, as I say, I was quite annoyed. Yeah. I might have unleashed a four-letter expletive.
Was it the C word?
It was the C word, yes. Wow. I said ignore that. I said thank you for your work. You're doing an excellent job.
I'd love it if she'd been really offended by the use of the word.
Get out.
She turned on you. That would have been a lovely twist to the tale.
No, she was a bit shocked, but she was... She's said, oh, thank you, that's very nice. And I said, no problem, but forget him, he's not worth it. And then I sort of, I don't know why, but I sort of marched out with a bit of a purpose, hoping I could run into him again.
Yeah.
In the car park, and then maybe tell him what I thought of him.
Yeah.
Without any sort of staff there to break it up.
There's something about that level of anger that it gives you, because it's so much adrenaline is surging through you when you're that angry. There is like a little spring in your step afterwards. I remember once getting really angry, And afterwards I was pacing up and down because there was so much adrenaline. I was just pacing. And there's a bit of you that thinks, come on, I want someone to start something here because I'm ready. I'm ready to go. And nothing happens. But it's quite a good feeling. It's not a nice feeling when it's happening because you're just lost in this red mist. But afterwards, it's kind of like, yeah, come on. I can do anything now.
I'm normally quite a peaceful, man. I'm not a fighter at all. But it kind of worried me a little bit afterwards. I thought, Jesus, I went from 0 to 60 very quickly there, from being in a good mood, perfectly calm, to considering thumping this bloke, even though I'd have got nicked immediately if I did.
Yeah. Well, that's the heat as well, though. That's what the heat does to you. It makes you that edgy. It's that edginess that creeps in when you're hot, Ben.
So it's been a tetchy week.
I got angry this week. It wasn't anything I could do much about, but it was just a story that I'd been following for a few days. And then the outcome really pissed me off.
Okay. Will I be familiar with the story?
You might do. Have you heard of the story of the walrus in Norway?
No.
No?
I haven't heard this at all.
Right. So there's been this...
I wasn't expecting that. I thought there was going to be some political decision or something. No, it's the walrus in Norway. Yeah. Of course.
So there's been this walrus called Freya, who had become a bit of an attraction because, she's a huge animal, 600 kilograms, right? And she'd been getting up on boats. I think she'd even sunk a few boats sort of in this harbour area of Norway. And then people have sort of been taking photos. They've been getting near the walrus. And the walrus isn't that keen on too many people around it. So a message was put out a few days ago, just basically saying, because there were pictures of people right with their kids near the walrus. I mean, this walrus could kill the child. I mean, these are the dickheads that we're talking about in the world. So don't put your child near a 600 kilogram walrus.
I'm wondering, if I did see something about this, because I'm sure I was flicking through TikTok the other day. And I'm sure I saw a video of someone who'd put their child on top of the walrus.
Well, that might well be it. That
the walrus got quite shitty about it.
Well, of course it would.
And then the parent panicked, and I thought, well, don't put your child
on a walrus. I know. People are stupid. So this walrus, it's in its natural habitat. It might have come in a bit nearer to the shore than perhaps normal, and people were throwing objects at it. I mean,
why would you throw things at it?
Because people are fucking dickheads, right? So a message went out and just basically said, please stay away from the walrus. Just let her be. She's living her life. She'll probably swim off and go somewhere else in time. But for now, she's near the shore. Just leave her alone. Did people leave her alone?
I can understand, I'm assuming no, but I can understand wanting to, try and get a selfie near the walrus. But why are you throwing things at it?
Yeah, but even if you want to have a selfie, you don't have to be right next to the thing.
No.
You can do that from a distance. It's a big fucking animal. You can get it in the background. It's not like an ant where you're not going to see it. If you want to show people, you go, oh, there's the walrus. Where? I can't see it. There, it's a fucking big animal. So anyway, the message went out and then people ignored it. Do you know what's happened to Freya?
This is going to upset me, isn't it? No, go on.
They put her down.
Why?
For her own safety and for the safety of others, because she was getting too angry with people not leaving her alone. So poor Freya has paid the price for the stupidity of humanity.
I fail to see how putting her down was for her own safety.
Well,
Ben,
I know.
For your own safety, I'm going to have to kill you.
I know.
What?
It's just ridiculous.
How is that for my own safety?
I mean, they even warned a couple of days before. They said, look, we've put the message out. People aren't. We might have to put this thing down if you don't leave her alone. And even then, people still didn't leave her alone. So ultimately, this animal is now dead.
couldn't, I mean, I know it shouldn't be the job of a full-time police officer, but...
Let's have a designated walrus officer.
Well, the moment someone starts throwing something towards or getting anywhere near the walrus or annoying it,
yeah,
throw them in cuffs, make an example of them, and then people will think twice.
Feed them to the walrus. That's what I would do.
I'd prefer that to putting the walrus down.
Yeah, yeah. I would. If you throw something at Freya, then we'll put you in handcuffs, tie you up, and just put you out. And she may decide to eat you or not. I'm assuming a walrus, its diet's probably more fish-based than red meat.
Yeah. Well, so all Freya's crime was being
harassed.
The victim yes. of harassment.
Yes.
And she's got the death penalty.
Yes. And I just thought, what is wrong with the world where people can't think, oh, we've been told to stay away, so let's do that? Because will these people have any guilt now? No, because these people don't think like that. They have absolutely not one iota of guilt in their body. They go, oh, well, it's dead, never mind. We'll move on.
Now, what was the best they were hoping for? If whatever they threw had hit the walrus even,
yeah.
What were they hoping for?
I know that she'd balance it on her nose like a performing animal. I don't know. Unless they just wanted to wind her up, maybe. Maybe that's what it was, just wind her up and see her go mental. I don't understand the mentality of people.
Oh, you sort of lose faith in humanity sometimes, don't you?
Well, you just got to question people's sense, haven't you? You just got to ask the question, what is going through your brains? You know, if there was like a big fire and people said, stay away from the fire, most people would stay away from the fire. They wouldn't think, oh, do you know what? I'll go near to the fire and get a picture. Some people would. There are some people that would do that. But this is an animal who's going to be very unpredictable. Why would you risk it? Why would you risk it for a fucking photo? And certainly don't put your child anywhere near it.
Have you heard, I mean, you say about, you know, common sense and things like that, but have you ever heard that quote from the late, great George Carlin about stupid people?
No, go on.
He says, think of how stupid the average person is and then realise half of them are stupider than that.
Yeah.
And their stupidity holds no bounds. I'm sure there will have been people who have died doing the dumbest of things, like taking a selfie in a really, really risky place that are then, you know, fallen to their death or something like that. There'll be, I bet you, without even looking it up, I bet you there's been examples of that.
There are. I mean, there was at least one, I think, when that TV show was on with David Tennant. What was it called?
Doctor Who.
No, not Doctor Who.
I don't know.
he played a detective. There'd been a murder. It was like a seaside town. I can't think what it was called. It'll come to me. But anyway, there was this sort of cliff that became the kind of the kind of big poster image of that series.
I know what you're about to say.
And people were standing right on the edge.
Of course they were.
Taking selfies. I'm not sure if anyone fell, but there's several stories of people in similar places where there's a cliff where it's pretty unsteady on the edge and they go right to the edge to have a selfie and next thing they're falling a few hundred feet. I mean, you know, just think it through a little bit.
It's got to be really quite a mix of emotions for the family that get that news, the tragic news that your loved one is no longer with us very suddenly, and then the knowledge that they were doing something so dumb and so preventable that you just must get furious with them at the same time.
Yeah, I know. Of course, there's the Darwin Awards, isn't there? The Darwin Awards is the most famous thing of stupid things people have done to end their lives.
Really?
It's an award for those who have removed themselves from the gene pool in the most, most spectacular fashion. I just quickly looked a few up. I mean, the first one that I've come across here, a man once tried to save some money by using a grenade to create his own fireworks.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
No, but it's not just that, because for some reason he decided to use a chainsaw to crack open the grenade to get to the gunpowder inside.
Fucking hell, as if playing with a grenade wasn't dangerous enough. Let's introduce a chainsaw into the mix.
I know, man tries to fight a lion.
Well, he kind of got what he deserved then, didn't he, really?
An Australian kung fu master told his class they were good enough to take on lions. This encouragement wasn't supposed to be taken literally, but one student took the words to heart, headed to his local zoo, popped in the cage, became the Lions' dinner very quickly.
I bet he did. Speaking of getting angry again, I saw another video on the internet. It was on TikTok, I think. I was surprised it was allowed to be on TikTok. It was basically somebody repeatedly... No, it wasn't on TikTok. No, TikTok would have definitely not allowed that. It was somebody basically repeatedly slapping and punching really very hard a donkey over and over again in the face. And the donkey put up with it for a few seconds.
Yeah.
And then eventually just started kicking the shit out of
Good.
This guy.
Brilliant.
And dragging him around by his leg and biting him. And I thought, fantastic. There was no reason on earth to start abusing this animal. And now it's kicking the shit out of you. And I hope no one steps in to help. No one did. There Good. Was someone filming it.
Yeah, yeah.
His mate. He just kept filming. I thought, Good. All right.
Did you see... few weeks back now, a horrible video of a woman punching a horse.
No, why would you punch a horse?
And she ended up, like, she's supposed to be, like, she does something with horses, but she was also a teacher. Cost her a job as a Good. Teacher. I think she might have been charged with animal cruelty.
Good.
It's like, well, don't hit the fucking horse. Dreadful. I've just looked up some more of these. Homemade bungee jump cord didn't work quite as well.
Now, if there's something you would like to be checked properly, it would be a bungee cord.
The guy used some tape to fix two different bungee cords together.
So what did he do? Did it just snap, or did he rip his legs off?
Well, he then cut them to measure the exact height of the bridge he wanted to jump from. He tied the cord to his car and jumped into the abyss, forgetting that...
Hang on a minute. Has he allowed for the stretch?
No.
Oh!
I mean, you shouldn't laugh. You shouldn't
obviously
laugh.
Obviously allow for the stretch. What a twat. I mean, I remember we did a thing on the radio once, one of our features. You gave me, because we were doing a game called Beat the Cheat, which is when I had to come up with some true story and some lies.
Yeah.
And you tasked me with the subject of windows, which was, by the way, quite a challenging thing to look up. But one I came across was about a bloke who worked at the top of a very high sort of skyscraper in America.
Yeah.
And he was always, one of the things he liked to do was to boast about how shatterproof the glass was in this office block. So whenever he got visitors up to the office or people coming around to tour the office or be shown around the place, he'd always do this trick of saying, hey, guess what? This glass is absolutely shatterproof. Watch.
This rings a bell.
And he ran at full tilt and threw himself against the glass. And he used to do this all the time. And one day he had a group of people coming up to his office. This story, by the way, is completely true. He did his trick. He said, watch this. This glass will not shatter. And he hurled his body against it with all of his might. And true to his word, the glass did not shatter. But having months and months of him slamming into it like a moron,
weakened
the it. Glass didn't shatter. But he did take the whole pain with him out the window as he fell to his death.
Oh, God.
Jesus.
I wouldn't trust glass. You know, like they've got those places that are high up. I think even... But one of the London bridges. Is it Tower Bridge has got it where you can stand on a really sort of strong reinforced bit of glass? But I just wouldn't want to. Like, there's places in China where it's sort of really high up on the side of a cliff, you have to walk across sort of a glass gangway. No thanks.
I was going to say, but I've seen this thing in China where there are these glass platforms and they wait for you to get about halfway across. And what they do is because it's actually not. Like pure glass. It's actually a very elaborate screen, like a TV screen.
Oh, is this where they put like a crack in it?
Yes.
I've seen that.
Playing
arseholes.
An animation of the glass below your feet appearing to start cracking very quickly and spreading. And then the poor bastards then obviously shit themselves.
Yes.
Oh, fair enough. They think they're about to die. And then everyone points and laughs.
Oh, yeah. Hilarious.
Nice?
No, there's nothing funnier than giving someone the feeling of imminent death, is there?
Look at that arsehole shitting himself and crying. He thought he was going to die.
I'll give you one more from the Darwin Awards. This one didn't actually get a Darwin Award, but it got a worthy mention.
An honourable mention for the Darwin Awards.
A man was taken to hospital after getting a sex toy lodged in his anus. Unfortunately, doctors were not quick enough to remove the unusual item and he died of septic shock.
Oh. We'll be right back.
Well, just before we wrap up this week, Ben, you were talking about the heat earlier.
Yeah.
Now, do you remember at the start of the year, we often look at some of the predictions that have been put forward by a number of people for the year ahead?
Yes, we often like to do this at the beginning of the year, especially.
Now, one of our favourite go-to people is Baba Vanga.
the blind mystic.
Who died in 1996, but she left predictions for each year right through to 5079.
Wow.
I mean, that must have been all she did, was write down predictions, wasn't it?
I hope that, you know, when we're long gone, someone else picks up the mantle of doing a podcast and continuing, you know, the year's predictions of old Baba.
I wonder what she's predicted for the final year.
Well, it's a very odd year to suddenly stop.
Well, she died, mate. I mean, I'd imagine she didn't have much choice in the matter of stopping at 5079. I mean, she was probably going for 5080. She's probably really hanging on. But unfortunately, death came out. A natural death, by the way. She didn't, as far as I'm aware, there were no implements inserted or anything. It was all very natural. Anyway, I just thought it would be worth pointing out, because we often mock these kinds of people, but she had predicted for 2022 things that have come right.
Okay, I was just thinking as well, could you imagine the poor bastard that had to document all this stuff? Oh, really, Baba? We're up to the year 5,000, are we? Okay, what cobblers have you got for this year?
But you've got to assume that she would have had acolytes who would believe her and go on every single word she said. They'd be writing, "Go, oh, Baba, tell us, 5079, we're up to March, what happened? Please tell us before you die, miss. Please tell us, Baba."
And now, oh, that's good. Now, Baba, how about 5080? Baba? Baba? We're being very disrespectful.
Yes, we are. Anyway, so she predicted that parts of Asia and Australia would be hit by intense floods, which has actually happened down under, right?
Right.
And she also said that many large cities, would be hit by a drought, followed by massive water shortages.
Bang on.
And just last Friday, a drought was officially declared in the UK. So, Baba, bang on. Well, but there's also another prediction. This one is from one of those, we've mentioned people like this before. It might even be the same one we've mentioned before. One of these time travellers, Ben.
Oh, yes, these liars, yeah.
Well, you say that, Ben. We need to be careful about what we say. We don't want to get sued by a time traveller.
Yes, I withdraw that then, because annoyingly, the way English libel law works is that it's up to me to prove they can't time travel, which actually isn't as easy as it sounds in a courtroom.
Although you could probably do that if none of what they say happened. Surely that would be enough evidence, wouldn't it? If you're only trying to say that what they've said on this occasion wasn't true, and they went, well, I'm a time traveler, I'm going to sue you for that. As long as those things don't happen at the time they say, surely that would be proof enough. If you want to try and disprove he's a time traveler, well, yeah, harder than that might seem at first look. Anyway, this time traveler who's come from the year 2906. Okay. So he'd be able to tell us how Baba Vanga's doing going forward. I'd be quite interested to talk to him. That'd be quite a meeting of minds, wouldn't it, in a way? Anyway, he's warning us of some things that are imminent.
Right.
Half the world's pigs are about to become zombies in the next few months.
Zombies?
Yeah.
Zombie pigs?
Zombie pigs, yeah. Doesn't explain how we're going to be inundated with zombie pigs.
I'm just trying to think of some sort of clever play on words for zombie pigs or pig zombies. I'm thinking Porkies, which would seem quite apt.
Porkies, yeah.
Yeah, what this guy's talking about.
So we're gonna have Porkies within months. Would you be frightened of zombie pigs?
No, I wouldn't be frightened.
Wouldn't you? Because pigs can be... I mean, I think it's quite extraordinary that pigs will eat humans. That's still something that blows my mind, that pigs, if given the opportunity, will eat human flesh.
I mean, they can, but I don't even think a zombie pig could, you know, work out the intricacies of my front door. I think I'd be okay. I wouldn't be hunted down by hordes of zombie pigs.
But you weren't able to go out. You'd be primed for the picking, being a postman.
Oh, no, I'm far too lean meat. They wouldn't want me all muscle and sinew and... No, they wouldn't
gristle.
Want that.
You're just gristle. They'd look at it and go, oh, it's just gristle. I'm going for it. Although, but would it not be the brains they're after anyway?
Well, again, they wouldn't get much.
No, that's true. Yeah.
I'll just jump in the van and just knock them all over. They wouldn't have a chance.
All right. So you're going to deal with the zombie pigs, okay?
Being zombie or not is no match for me going at 50 miles an hour in a big transit van. They haven't got a chance.
Well, the good news is that you might not have to deal with this as you are right now, Ben.
Okay.
Because he's also claimed that humans are about to get superpowers from the sun.
Right.
Doesn't go on to say what sort of superpowers. What would the sun's rays give us?
The power of vitamin D.
Solar power.
Solar power, that might be it.
It might save us money on the bills. It might solve the cost of living crisis if we all had a bit of solar power within us.
I mean,
I could light a room just by walking into it. That would be perfect, wouldn't it?
I would consider that a superpower if you could fix the cost of living crisis with the sun. That'd be great.
It also says a parallel world under the Earth is soon to be discovered.
Parallel world under the Earth?
Under the Earth.
When you say under the Earth, do you mean beneath the Earth's surface, or do you mean below the South Pole, sort of floating off, geographically below where the Earth's planet is?
I don't know what he means. He just says a parallel world under the Earth will be discovered. And imagine that, Ben, if we saw what the parallel Earth would be. I mean, what would be going on in that parallel Earth? Right now, we'd be covered in snow, probably. It'd be almost the opposite of where we're at. We'd have a competent government.
Parallel universe. A competent government
doesn't have to be opposite, does it? It could be a whole range of parallel universes. Where there could be a parallel universe where I'm running the country.
I mean, I'd prefer that. What job would you give me within your government?
Well, I'd have to think about this. I could probably make you a minister of something, but right. I'm not sure what. Chancellor, I mean, are you any good at maths?
Not really.
Right, so
I mean, could you make me UK Secretary for State? Because I'm pretty sure I could do a better job than Nadine Dorries.
Well, no, she's Secretary of State for Media and Culture.
I could do Media and Culture.
You could do Media and Culture, I'm
podcast
not sure.
Podcast is a kind of media.
It's media. I'm not sure. I've known you long enough to think culture might not be within your grasp, Ben. Sort of media and media and computer games.
Yes, but you're assuming that Nadine Dorries is any more competent than I would be. I mean, didn't she recently go to a rugby league game or some sort of meeting of the rugby league and then start talking about Johnny Wilkinson's famous kick?
In rugby
which
union,
of course,
yes.
Would be rugby union, Nadine.
Yeah, yeah, and she also, what was the other thing she said?
And that's
was
just the tip of the iceberg.
Was it like what did she say, like a tennis pitch or something, didn't she? She, because it's sport as well, it's not just media and culture, it's sport, media and culture. I mean, you'd probably want to introduce more wrestling into the English sports calendar, which I think at a cabinet meeting I'd be strongly against and would advise my other members of cabinet to vote against that. Yeah, well, I mean, tell me, if I was to appoint you, Secretary of Sport, Media and Culture, pitch to me what your ideas would be, Ben. How would you improve sport, media and culture in the UK? Tell me now.
I think I would cap the price of boxing pay-per-views, which are on the rise.
Right.
I mean, everything's going up now. Even my paid fighting is going up. I don't like that very much.
Right.
So that'll be capped off. We won't have tennis pitches anymore, because that sounds a bit daft, doesn't it?
Well, we don't have them anyway.
What about, cricket rinks? Or
I mean, you're not really selling yourself for this position, Ben.
Yeah, I just don't think I could be worse, do you?
I don't think anyone could be worse. There we are. That's it for another Trev and Ben podcast. Just before we go, as always, a few recommendations for you. I've got three things for you this week.
Okay.
First of all, I like a good detective show.
Yeah, you do.
And there's a new series of Van der Valk on at the moment on ITV, so that'll be on the ITV player. I mean, Van der Valk, I remember as a child being on for years. I had that great theme tune. Do you know we used to use it as a bit of music years ago. It goes do 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 do
do do do do do do do. I remember it very well. That's enough. That's enough. You never know when to stop, do you?
That was the theme tune. The new theme tune only has a little element of it. It's much more dramatic, but it has a little kind of dramatic piano bit that echoes that melody. Anyway, it's been a really good series. I think the first series is probably available, but the second series has been really good so far. So if you like a detective thing, recommend that.
Excellent.
I also want to recommend a film that has been on telly before, and it was on again the other night because Raymond Briggs sadly passed away.
Right.
Did you know who Raymond Briggs is?
I can't say I do.
Well, Raymond Briggs is the man who created The Snowman.
Oh, yes, I was aware of that, yes.
Fungus the Bogeyman.
Not heard of that one.
You've never heard of Fungus the Bogeyman?
Never in my life.
Wow, Ben, you can't be media secretary for media and culture if you've never heard of Fungus the Bogeyman.
That means Nadine Dorries' job is safe even in the parallel universe.
Yeah. When the Wind Blows, which I've spoken about before, which scared the shit out of me, that my mum had to take the book back when I was a kid.
Well, couldn't even have it in the house.
No, because it scared me. It's all about nuclear war. Terrifying. But there's a brilliant film made of that, which is well worth tracking down. I think it might be on YouTube. You can watch that. It's a great film because it's about this elderly couple who are a bit dim, and they follow because he made it in the time where there was that ridiculous leaflet about how to survive. What was it? Protect and Survive was that famous ridiculous leaflet where they just sort of said you can survive and you can pass by hiding behind a door. I mean, it's the most ridiculous thing, and they follow it to the letter, and of course it doesn't go well for them. But it's such a sweet, charming but terrifying animation. But the thing that they repeated this week is called Ethel and Ernest, which is, it's about him, but it's more about his parents and their life story. And it's such a wonderful film, Ben. It's very moving. It's very funny at times. It's just lovely.
Okay.
Very sad as well, by the way. But that'll be on the BBC iPlayer, Ethel and Ernest. Well worth a watch, I think, anyway. Okay. And finally, the last thing I'm going to recommend is a podcast, which I've only just discovered, although it's been around for a long time, called The Political Party with Matt Ford.
Right.
Do you know Matt Ford? He's sort of impressionist and comedian.
Definitely heard of him.
But he's also worked in politics, so he's got this interest in politics. And he interviews people from the political world across all the spectrums. I've only listened to a few, but I just want to recommend his latest one, which is with Gordon Brown. Now, a lot of people will dislike Gordon Brown. I mean, God, I wish he was Prime Minister right now.
I'd take dull and boring over eccentric and incompetent.
Yeah, but sensible as well. And just, anyway, that's just my opinion. But that's, if you don't like that, I'd just recommend the Andrew Marr edition as well, because he's just a fascinating character with some great stories. So, yeah, The Political Party with Matt Ford, I think well worth a listen.
Okie doke, I've got a couple of bits to recommend for you myself. My dad asked me to recommend a podcast basically to you, but I think also to anyone who'd be interested. And as you just mentioned, a political podcast, it seems apt. A podcast called The Rest is Politics with Alistair Campbell.
I've been listening to that. Yeah, it's fascinating.
You a fan?
I am. It's Alistair Campbell and Rory Stewart, who are traditionally from different ends of the political spectrum, but together they work really well.
I know Alistair Campbell can be considered a little bit controversial by some people.
Well, the interesting thing is, it took me a while to listen to this because I can't really stand Alistair Campbell. I think he summed up everything I hate about the spin of politics. He was so involved with the Blair spin, and for me, not a particularly pleasant character at times. Rory Stewart, I wouldn't, agree with him on so many things because of his politics. But together, they do work, and they've done some fascinating interviews. They've recently done one with Tony Blair, which is quite interesting. So, yeah, no, that is a great podcast. I do recommend that too. So, thank you, Dad, for that. It's very good.
I will do. And also, a slightly more frivolous one now is a YouTuber that I like called Jackmate. He's got a Jackmate podcast, which is called The Happy Hour.
Okay,
that's well worth listening. Some very interesting guests on that, and some quite big names on that one as well.
Lovely.
And since I don't think given me the job of secretary for,
well, I think you talked yourself out of it by not having heard of Fungus the Bogeyman.
But I think I suppose it comes under media, doesn't it? Fungus the Bogeyman.
Culture, I would put that under, yeah.
But I thought for any of my, because I promised to, look after the boxing fans, I thought everyone who gives a shit should be aware that Anthony Joshua is fighting Alexander Usyk on August the 20th, which is coming up soon. So get on that. And also, a couple of months away, Chris Eubank Jr. and Conor Benn will have a fight October the 8th.
I mean, are you being paid by Sky or something?
And it's an interesting one, that, because it's the sort of repeat match that the two fathers had all those years ago.
Oh, right.
Nigel Benn and Chris Eubank Sr., I suppose we call him now.
When he was very much looking forward to the fight of his life. Would his son be fighting for the honour of the Lord of Brighton or whatever he is?
I was having a mental countdown in my head as to how soon after I mentioned Chris Eubank would the voice come out? And you surprised even me with how fast it came out.
My son is going to have another fight. Very much like the one I had many years ago.
And of course, be aware, it will separate you from your money. So these things aren't cheap anymore, these pay-per-views. But it'll be worth it.
Pay, please pay. There we are, that's it for this week. Thank you very much for listening and downloading. Don't forget, you can get in touch with us anytime at Trevor Mid on Twitter. And we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, take it easy.
Bye.